Let's read together Exodus chapter 21. In this chapter, we have further laws given to the children of Israel for the protection and regulation of their society. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 11. Exodus chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. Now these are the judgments which you shall set before them. If you buy a Hebrew servant, he shall serve 6 years, and in the seventh he shall go out free and pay nothing. If he comes in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he comes in married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master has given him a wife, and she has borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. But if the servant plainly says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or to the doorposts, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. And if a man sells his daughter to be a female slave, she shall not go out as the male slaves do. If she does not please her master who has betrothed her to himself, then he shall let her be redeemed. He shall have no right to sell her to a foreign people, since he has dealt deceitfully with her. And if he has betrothed her to his son, he shall deal with her according to the custom of daughters. If he takes another wife, he shall not diminish her food, her clothing, and her marriage rights. And if he does not do these three for her, then she shall go out for free without paying money. Let's begin our study of Exodus chapter 21 with some background notes. In Exodus chapter 20, we had the giving of the Ten Commandments. As we read through the next three chapters, we find that there are many different laws dealing with various aspects of life. Now, why so many detailed laws? They were given for both the protection and regulation of the society of the children of Israel. Not only protection, but regulation as well. That is, when we think of the civil laws under the Mosaic Covenant that we have in these chapters, as well as the rest of the Pentateuch, we need to think not only in terms of protection for the people, but also of regulation of existing conditions in the society of the children of Israel at that time. So our doctrinal point for this chapter in Exodus will be, the Mosaic Law was given for the protection and regulation of society. The Mosaic Law was given for the protection and regulation of society. Now we will look at several subpoints under this doctrinal point, which are in line with the different sections of this chapter. So subpoint number one, under the law, slaves were given their freedom. Under the law, slaves were given their freedom. In verses 1 through 11, the verses that we just read, we have regulations concerning the rights of Hebrew slaves. Notice, Hebrew slaves. Laws concerning foreign slaves are covered in Leviticus chapter 25. Now again, remember that God is not condoning slavery here, but regulating an existing practice in that society that God did allow to continue. And don't think of the Hebrew slaves working in the fields, in chains, under the whip of a slave master, as it was for them in Egypt. No, it was more like the conditions of indentured servants. In fact, we know that many Hebrews made themselves slaves because they were poor and it was a better deal for them, or they needed to pay off a debt. All Hebrew male slaves went free after 6 years, and they did not have to buy their freedom. Furthermore, we know from Deuteronomy chapter 15 that at the time of the slave's release, the master had to provide him with provisions, including livestock, to begin his new life. So you can see why some men would sign up for slavery. We see here in verses 7 and 8, that a man could sell his daughter to be a servant with the hopes that the well-to-do master or his son would marry her. If things did not work out, she was either fully provided for or redeemed or given her freedom, verses 7 through 11. Subpoint number 2. Under the law, certain crimes were capital offenses. Under the law, certain crimes were capital offenses, verses 12 through 21. He who strikes a man so that he die shall surely be put to death. However, if he did not lie in wait, but God delivered him into his hand, then I will appoint for you a place where he may flee. But if a man acts with premeditation against his neighbor, to kill him by treachery, you shall take him from my altar, that he may die. And he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He who kidnaps a man and sells him, or if he is found in his hand, shall surely be put to death. And he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. If men contend with each other, and one strikes the other with a stone or with his fist, and he does not die, but is confined to his bed, if he rises again and walks about outside with his staff, then he who struck him shall be acquitted. He shall only pay for the loss of his time, and shall provide for him to be thoroughly healed. And if a man beats his male or female servant with a rod, so that he dies under his hand, he shall surely be punished. Notwithstanding, if he remains alive a day or two, he shall not be punished, for he is his property. In these verses, we have several laws concerning personal injury where there was the death penalty. There was the death penalty for murder. Now, cities of refuge were provided for manslaughter. That is accidental death, right? They were provided for manslaughter, but not for murder. Even if the murderer went to the altar and cried for mercy, there was the death penalty for murder. Verse 14. Striking your parents, even if they did not die, brought the death penalty. Verse 15. Kidnappers were put to death. Verse 16. Cursing your parents and thus rebelling against God's line of authority meant the death penalty. Verse 17. Now, this law would certainly help prevent the breakdown of society, such as we see in our own country today. If men fought and one died, there was the death penalty, if it was determined that it was murder. If one was injured but didn't die, the other one not only paid the hospital bills, but took care of the injured until he was healed. In the case of a man hitting his slave, and the slave died, it was treated as manslaughter. Presumably, the master did not mean to murder his slave. However, the master was punished by the courts, as you can see in verse 20. There was no escaping the punishment by fleeing to a city of refuge, for example. If the slave lived, the master, of course, bore the responsibility of taking care of his injured property and had to give the slave his freedom if the injury was severe, as we see in verses 26 and 27. Subpoint number 3. Under the law, the unborn had human status. Under the law, the unborn had human status. Verses 22 through 25. If men fight and hurt a woman with child so that she gives birth prematurely, yet no harm follows, he shall surely be punished according as the woman's husband imposes on him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. But if any harm follows, then you shall give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. You will notice that translations differ in verse 22 as to whether the woman who got involved in the fray had a miscarriage or she gave birth prematurely. We can't tell from the Hebrew language here because it just says the fruit of her womb comes out, as in the King James translation. Well, I think you can see that it makes a big difference whether the unborn has died, that is a miscarriage, or the baby was alive, that is a premature birth. If it was a miscarriage, then the further injury of verse 23 only refers to the mother. But if it was a premature birth, then the further injury of verse 23 refers to either mother or baby, and the law of retaliation applied, that is eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life. Now, assuming that it was an accident and not premeditated, the death of the mother or the unborn or the baby was not treated as murder, but as manslaughter, that is, accidental death. But the clear implication of this passage is that the unborn was to be treated as a human being. And thus, this passage, along with the rest of the Bible, is against abortion. Does everybody follow the logic? It's very clear. Subpoint number 4. Under the law, owners were responsible for their property. Under the law, owners were responsible for their property. Verses 26 through 36. If a man strikes the eye of his male or female servant and destroys it, he shall let him go free for the sake of his eye. And if he knocks out the tooth of his male or female servant, he shall let him go free for the sake of his tooth. If an ox gores a man or a woman to death, then the ox shall surely be stoned, and its flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be acquitted. But if the ox tended to thrust with its horn in times past, and it has been made known to his owner, and he has not kept it confined, so that it has killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and its owner also shall be put to death. If there is imposed on him a sum of money, then he shall pay to redeem his life, whatever is imposed on him. Whether it has gored a son or gored a daughter, according to this judgment, it shall be done to him. If the ox gores a male or female servant, he shall give to their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. And if a man opens a pit, or if a man digs a pit, and does not cover it, and an ox or a donkey falls in it, the owner of the pit shall make it good. He shall give money to their owner, but the dead animal shall be his. If one man's ox hurts another's, so that it dies, then they shall sell the live ox and divide the money from it, and the dead ox they shall also divide. Or if it was known that the ox tended to thrust in time past, and its owner has not kept it confined, he shall surely pay ox for ox, and the dead animal shall be his own. Verses 26 and 27 would certainly guard against abusive treatment of slaves. Even the loss of a tooth meant the slave went free. Now in the remaining verses of this chapter, we see that under the law, owners were totally responsible for their property as to safety. This included animals and buildings and land. If, for example, you had a vicious ox that killed a person, not only was the ox put to death, but you were subject to the death penalty as well. Now, you could redeem your life by financial compensation, but it was a stiff penalty. If you dug a pit on your property, presumably a cistern for collecting rainwater, and you didn't enclose it, and an animal fell into it and died, you were responsible and had to make full restitution and pay the owner. Under the law, you were responsible for the behavior of your animals, and you were responsible to make your property safe. We see that many of these laws set a good precedent for laws governing society today, don't they? The Mosaic Law was given for the protection and regulation of society. What about practical application? Don't miss the spiritual picture of the pierced ear. Don't miss the spiritual picture of the pierced ear. We see in verses 5 and 6 that when a slave was given his freedom, he could give up that freedom because of his love for his wife and family. In that case, he would have his ear pierced with an awl as a permanent sign of his decision. What a beautiful spiritual picture we have here of what our Lord has done for us. The church is the bride of Christ, according to the New Testament. In the spiritual picture here in Exodus chapter 21, we are the wife and children that the servant loves. Our Lord voluntarily was pierced at the cross because of his love for us. He will bear the marks of the cross forever. Don't miss the spiritual picture of the pierced ear.